Good evening and welcome again to Grange Baptist Church. And coming on a Monday evening, we enter into a new week of Bible studies. We're continuing our series in Men That We Can Learn From. And this week, we give our attention to the character of John the Baptist. And so we're turning in our Bibles this evening to Luke's Gospel in the chapter 1. Luke's Gospel in the chapter 1, we're going to enter into the chapter at the verse 5. And over the next 3 evenings, we're going to give ourselves to the study of John the Baptist in this way. Tonight, we're going to consider the announcement of his birth. Tomorrow evening, then, God willing, we will consider the days preceding his birth up until his birth, and then also we'll consider his death. And then on Wednesday evening, we'll give ourselves to an extended study of his ministry, his days of ministry here on earth. And so tonight, coming to consider the announcement of his birth, let's read together from the verse 5 of the chapter. And the word of God says, "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Amen, and may we know even the blessing of the Lord upon our hearts as we come to consider his word. So tonight we come to focus our thoughts on the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. And tonight's study will involve very much looking at the life of Zacharias, his father, and indeed the words of the messenger Gabriel, the angel of the Lord. And the Bible tells us much about his parents here. That is indeed a positive testimony. For in verse 6, the word of God records they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And so, as we're introduced to the parents of John the Baptist, we're introduced to two individuals, a man and a woman, who served the Lord and who honored the Lord, both in what they said and in what they did. For as they lived out their lives, they obeyed the commands of the Lord, they applied the word of the Lord, and truly they were people to be noted even in their generation, but also they were worthy parents of a servant of the Lord, that being John the Baptist. And that's what Scripture records. It also tells us, of course, of that a truth that was a reality in their life, that they had no child. God had not blessed them at that point with an inheritance. And no doubt as they lived together, they prayed many times, even that the Lord would see fit to bestow upon them that blessing. For as we go on, we see, of course, that the angel of the Lord testifies of that, that they had prayed even for the birth of a child, the birth of a son. And then at the end of our reading, we said, we noted those words in verse 25, where it tells us what Elizabeth says, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. This was a real burden that was evident in their lives. They served the Lord. This is something that Zacharias was engaged in. He was engaged in that temple service of the Lord. His was the duty to take in the incense and to burn it there upon the altar of incense. And thereby, going about his daily duty, he comes face to face with the angel of the Lord. And the Bible records that as he comes face to face with the angel of the Lord in verse 12, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. We might ask ourselves, why would a man of God, why would someone who reads the Word of God, who obeys the Word of God, who seeks to live for God, why would he be troubled? Why would he be fearful of the appearance of the angel of the Lord to him? Well, we must understand that at the time whenever Gabriel did come to Zacharias, it was after that period of 400 years whenever the voice of God was silent to the nation of Israel. He hadn't spoken. There hadn't been that message from heaven. There hadn't been a messenger sent from heaven during those 400 years to the people of Israel. And indeed, many commentators agree with that, but also further agree that up to a period of 500 years, there'd been no evidence of God working amongst the nation of Israel. There'd been no miracles take place. And here in this chapter, we're introduced to the character of Zacharias. We see the angel appear to him, and what does he appear with? A message from God. And so that 400 years of silence is broken. But also that message of God reveals a miracle. Why? Because two old people, well stricken in years, is the description is given to of Zacharias and Elizabeth here in the Word of God. Well stricken in years, two people elderly, two people well on in the journey of life, but to them would be born a child, a miracle. And so God breaks in to the nation of Israel again, and he breaks in with that voice, that message, that word, but he also breaks in with a miracle, evidence of his hand, evidence of his work amongst them. It's really a remarkable time. But, you know, as we consider the response of Zacharias, we pause just to say this. You may be here tonight with us, troubled in heart, troubled in spirit, troubled in mind. Hear the voice of God. For as the trouble is known, as the fear is experienced by Zacharias, the angel of the Lord said unto him, verse 13, fear not. Fear not, Zacharias. And tonight, God says, fear not your name. No matter the trouble, no matter the difficulty, no matter that burden that is upon your heart, no matter that fear or anxiety that takes hold, both for the present and indeed for the future, God speaks and says, fear not. Oh, he would not have us to be a people of fear, but rather to be a people of sound mind and indeed full of faith. And so hear the voice of God speaking to you and receive that assurance and that encouragement that is needed. Fear not. That's not our message tonight, because the angel goes on to say, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Again, we could pause and say this. If you're praying for something, remember God hears prayers. And in hearing, he answers. They're not two separate instances. God doesn't hear, then answer. No, he hears and answers. And yes, sometimes that answer is pause, wait, tarry. But the answer that we desire, the answer we pray for, will be known in due course. And God always hears and answers in the moment, in the instant. He doesn't come around a round table in heaven and discuss whether or not he'll grant your prayer today or grant it in 2 weeks' time. No, his divine will is revealed to us in stages. The increments of the Christian life are only ever guided for the step ahead. But nevertheless, that thing that we pray for, God promises that in due course and in due season, according to his will, he will surely answer and perform in the way that we desire. But his answer for now perhaps is pause, tarry. So don't think that God doesn't hear and answer your prayers, because he truly does. That's a testimony of this angel to Zacharias and to Elizabeth. God has heard your prayers. He goes on to say, thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, thou shalt call his name John. So we see this great announcement that is made. John is going to be born to Elizabeth and Zacharias. Their prayer in regards to having a child, having an inheritance of the Lord, will be answered. God is going to give them even that which they desire. But not only that, he is going to be a messenger unto Israel. He's going to be that forerunner to the heart's desire of Israel. Remember, the forerunner to Messiah. And even through his preaching and his teaching, many shall be turned on to the Lord their God. And we'll consider that, God willing, in our study on Wednesday night. But as this message is delivered, I want us to focus our thoughts on 2 points tonight, because we see not only in the response that Zacharias initially has to the angel, but he goes on to be incredulous even to that which the angel bears witness of. That indeed declaration of God that John will be born. Now, the angel himself perhaps is a little surprised of that. In verse 18, Zacharias' response is recorded, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, my wife well stricken in years." The angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And so this word comes from God. It is the answer to the prayer that Zacharias and Elizabeth have been offering up to the Lord, been desirous of, been patiently waiting for. But in that moment, Zacharias does not believe. And thus, I want you to note, first of all, the first point we come to tonight is the loss that was incurred. The loss that was incurred. And what was it? Zacharias was not able to testify of, nor indeed enter into the full blessing of, the answer that God provided to his prayer. He was struck with silence. Here was a man who got before the Lord. Here was a man who unburdened himself before the Lord. Here was the man who poured out his heart unto the Lord. Here was a man who patiently waited for the Lord. And when the Lord came and the Lord heard him, the Lord answered him, and the Lord gave definite affirmation that that which he desired was going to occur, Zacharias did not believe. And because of that, silence was his until the day in which that which the Lord promised became a reality in his life and in his family. Now that tonight teaches us an important lesson. For if we are not by faith willing to serve the Lord in everything, indeed, specifically in those things that we are desirous of, then you too, and me, if that is found in our lives, then we will find a loss incurred because of our lack of faith. And a lack of faith in our lives always incurs a loss. Now you might say, what made Zacharias unbelieving in that moment? The Bible doesn't reveal that. Perhaps you and I could speculate a little bit and say, was it because he didn't think the time was right? He was old. There was no way that God was going to be able to do that thing, no doubt. It's part of his testimony. It's not beyond a stretch of imagination to consider that was very much his motivation, that was very much his thinking as this message is delivered. Perhaps it's also due to the fact that whenever the angel Gabriel came and announced this unto Zacharias, that Zacharias realized that the reality of having a child, especially in his older years, it was going to change his life. And he is no doubt, like you and I, we're creatures of habit. And do you know what creatures of habit hate the most? Change. And the very moment that change is announced, the very moment that change is declared, the very moment that change has to come about, what do? We resist. We pull back. We say anything but change. But you ask me, Zacharias, this is what you've been praying about for years. This is what your wife has been praying about. This is what you've desired for so long. Now I'm going to provide the answer. Now a child is going to come and you're saying, no, don't want my circumstances to change. Don't want my life to change. It's not so often the place that we find ourselves in. Praying unto God, desiring God to do something in our lives, in our family, in our church, in our nation. But perhaps whenever that answer comes, change has to come. If God is going to change the future, he has to disturb the present. We've noted that many times in the past. But if you want to see God do something in days to come, then you must be willing to undergo change now. But so often we resist. And just like Zacharias, we refuse to believe. We refuse to enter in to all that God is promising to do. And look at the loss that is incurred here in the life of Zacharias, because as he tarries in the temple and the people are all gathered without, they're waiting for him to come back out from offering up the incense at the altar there. And as he comes out, he's not able to testify. They perceived, the Bible tells us, that he had seen a vision, but he isn't able to share it. And imagine what Zacharias could have done for the Lord in that moment. He could have declared and said, after 400 years, an angel of the Lord has appeared unto me. God has spoken and he's promised me a son. And not only that, this son is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. This son is going to be one who sees many of our kindred, many of our brothers and sisters in Israel brought to that knowledge of God and turned in their ways to God. Oh, the moment could have been so much greater for Zacharias. He could have entered into a ministry given to him of God in that moment to encourage others and to turn their eyes to Christ and to turn their eyes to God and to expect even that Messiah that they had long anticipated, but he missed out. Why? Because he refused to believe. And his was a loss incurred, a loss of blessing, a loss indeed of experiencing the hand of God using him as a messenger to others. Silence was to be his for that time. And so tonight the lesson is simply this: do not be unbelieving. And do not refuse when God brings about that opportunity in your life, that moment whenever there could be that realization of all that you've ever hoped for, all that you've ever longed for. Don't balk at it. You know, you look around our world today, you look specifically around our land, and what do many people speak about? They speak about revival. But could it be that at the moment whenever God is desiring to revive us, revive me, revive you, revive his church here, revive his people here in Northern Ireland, to see a great work done for him that we're not willing to enter in? Why? Because it will involve change. And we refuse to give up the idols that we have built in our own lives, in our own church, in our own nation. If that is true, then heed the warning that's found here in the Word of God. For loss will be incurred if you are not willing to, by faith, enter in to all that God is desiring to do. Not only the loss incurred, but I want to notice as well the blessing bestowed. For as the angel goes on to speak about this child John that is to be born, it tells us this testimony: "Thou, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Verse 15, "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Now, you and I could speak for hours and seek to define greatness. But I believe, as I always believe, of course, that we define things biblically. And so to define greatness, it's defined as that which is acknowledged by heaven, not by man. Here was one who was declared by God as one who would be great in the sight of the Lord. God never once testified to what he or how he would be received among men. Yes, he speaks, of course, many shall have joy and gladness, many shall rejoice at his birth. Why? Because it was a miracle, because it was a further sign that God was fulfilling the promises given to his people. And remember, this is what Zacharias missed out in announcing and being a part of, being able to speak of, being able to preach about. He missed out on all of that because he wouldn't enter into by faith. But nevertheless, as we come to consider the life of John the Baptist, we see that he is declared great in the sight of God. The Bible tells us, yes, the world, especially the Israelite nation, they'll rejoice at his birth. They'll rejoice and be glad at the news of his birth. And indeed, as he ministers, he'll see many turn to the Lord their God. But nevertheless, it doesn't tell us whether or not the world will ever acknowledge him to be great. And as we come to consider the life of John the Baptist, we see one who wasn't interested whether other men considered him to be great. He was only interested in the testimony of heaven. And the testimony of heaven was fixed at his birth, for the testimony of heaven said, "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord." And so here was a great man born to parents, yes, that were noble parents, that were God-honoring, but he fulfilled the mission that God gave him. And look at the testimony that's afforded in the Word of God to John. Not only here at the announcement of his birth, but come across to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and the verse 28. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And it tells us here, from the words of Christ himself, that there wasn't a man born of a woman. There wasn't another prophet to be found in the history of nation, in the history of the nation of Israel, that would be, or indeed was, greater than John the Baptist. And so did he achieve greatness? Absolutely. Christ himself testified of it. There's another reference in Matthew 11 and the verse 11. We don't have time to turn to it tonight, but we will come to it in other studies later this week. But as we hear the words of Christ, hear that word great again. For as the announcement is given by Gabriel, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Heaven, this is a message that heaven is declaring. This is a blessing that is bestowed by God upon John. And indeed it's fulfilled, for Christ testifies there wasn't a man who was born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. Oh, what a testimony. John the Baptist was a simple man. Oh, as we consider his life on Wednesday evening, we'll see just how simple he lived. Indeed, how unorthodox he was. His methods, his appearance, everything about him. But nevertheless, he was one who was simply only interested in doing that which God commanded him to do, and that which was the calling of God upon his life. And the blessing that God bestowed upon him was this: as I look down upon you, John, you're great. Do you know, you and I have it all back to front, don't we? For I guarantee you that if we had a discussion of greatness tonight, you and I would set out the parameters. And we would pick those that we would use as examples of great men, great women, great heroes of the faith. But you know, all along, the Bible isn't interested in what you and I think. It's not interested in what the world at large thinks. The Bible only ever records that which heaven thinks. And that should be our desire. Oh yes, we're to live peaceably among all men here on earth, but we are to live for God alone. Will that make us enemies? No doubt. Will it get people to question our way of living, our method of ministry? No doubt. But all along, we must have that desire simply to please the Lord and please him alone, because we are not accountable to other men and women. We're accountable first and foremost to God. And may that be our desire. May that be our goal, to achieve greatness, not here on earth, but greatness in the record of heaven. Is that achievable? Absolutely. How is it? Well, the Bible tells us here, it goes on to tell us how it can be achieved. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is that one who indwells us. But to be filled with the Holy Ghost and how we do our live our life here on earth and do service here on earth is a completely different idea. For to be filled with the Spirit of God is to be yielded to him. Is not to be motivated by the things that characterize us. So often we come to discussions and say, that's just the way I am. No, we are not to be like that. We are not to be who we consider ourselves to be. We are to be yielded unto God as instruments of righteousness. And in our service, in our responses, in our dialogue one with another, we are to be guided by his Spirit alone. And you will never accomplish anything of worth for God if you remain stuck in that, well, that's just the way I am. Not a bit. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And oh, that God would give us spiritual men. Oh, that God would give us spiritual women. People who are yielded to Christ. People who are servants of righteousness in his hand. People who are guided in their responses to many of the different things that we come to by the Word of God, directed by the Spirit of God. For that would revolutionize this world. It will revolutionize this land. It will revolutionize this church. It will revolutionize your life. To be yielded to the Spirit of God. And so tonight we consider the loss incurred. That's the loss that is incurred by those who refuse by faith to accept the answer of God from heaven. The blessing bestowed, that's bestowed upon those who simply live their lives for God and only seek his approval, only seek to do that which glorifies and pleases him. Will that be you tonight? I trust that it is. I trust that all of us will yield our lives as instruments unto him to do with and to do in that thing that he chooses. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts. God bless.